All right, let's read our scripture for today. I'm going to read the black and you briefly read the blue. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, Mark Hunt, who's in charge of our greeting team, he's not here today. He got that crummy cold flu. Oh, I listened to him last night in his voice, and it was just like, go to bed, Mark, go to bed. You know, but, you know, one day we were outside, and it was a sunny day in the winter, and it was kind of warm, and So he's been looking for a house, and by the way, he found one here in Brighton. Yeah, we're excited about that. That means he's going to stay with us. So, of course, in our garage, it's a storage bin of a lot of his stuff, as well as he has other storage bins. But he pulled out this Arabian-looking knife, and that has been passed down through his family. I think they picked it up in Russia or something like that, his relatives in the past. And so I unsheathed it and looked at it, and I took my fingers and ran it across the blade. And do you ever do that? I don't know if that's like an automatic response, but you get a sword, you want to see how sharp it is, you know. And so he goes, "Watch out, it's sharp." And boy, it was. It was very sharp. And the sword that Paul says went to use, the sword of the Spirit, is an active, sharp, sharp sword. And it's a part of our protective armor, which is interesting because we use the shield to help us with the darts, but we use the sword to fend off, and I'm going to talk about that this morning. It's kind of unique. And so even though it's active, it's mainly used in a defensive type of posture to fight off temptation and schemes of the evil one. It's the active sword of the Spirit, but we don't strike people, we strike the darts, right? We strike all those things coming at us. And so here our weapon is reading God's word, meditating on it, memorizing, and actually quoting God's words against the foe. And, you know, it was really funny because I was watching a video of T.D. Jakes, and he says when he goes to preach, he stares at the passage, and he stares at it, and he stares at it. You know, that's meditation. And so we stare at the passage and we look at it. We try to figure out what it means for us. And so he says, and taking up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And so I want us to clearly understand what we do with that offensive weapon. We use it against the kingdom of darkness as we stand our ground. And it's a sword which is from or out of the Spirit. The Spirit brings to memory those things you memorize. And it's not out of us, it's out of the Spirit. Okay, but those, but out of God Himself. Now, we might think of it in terms, I got to thinking about the lightsaber, you know, with Star Wars, deflecting temptations and being able to use our sword for the enemy to understand we are in love with God. Amen? That's we're in love with God. We're not in love with Him. And so Monday morning I came in and I thought, okay, I'm going to be preaching on the sword of the Spirit. And I sat down and I opened the Word and I began to meditate on the verse and just think about it, maybe stare at it like T.D. Jakes says. That was kind of cool. And I thought about the use of the sword, and then all of a sudden this flaming arrow of temptation came into my head, and it was astronomical in proportion. It's not the usual. You know how you have these little minor temptations, and all of a sudden you have this huge? And man, I had to grip my desk, because it's like, oh my gosh, you know, and I, it collided with my head, and while I was staring at the verse, I thought to myself, are you stupid or what, Satan? I'm staring at the actual verse that I'm going to read back to him, and I have this astronomical temptation. And by my sword, it was easy to deflect, because I was meditating on the Word of God. And it was almost like the very thing that we're going to learn today, he produced in me, in my life. And man, that was, what a deal. Anyhow, let me get going here. So I started with this thing coming at me. I said, Satan, it is written. Right? Isn't that what we should be saying? Satan, it is written. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. I got to read this because I memorized it in the old King James and I'll screw it up. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. Okay? And so anytime we have a temptation, we are not tempted beyond what we can do to deny that temptation. Okay? Otherwise, he puts a hedge up and stops it, I guess. And so I started singing this to Satan. The B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. Do you know it? I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. And boom, it was gone. It was gone. This sword is sharp. This sword is an active weapon. This sword deflects temptation. But here's what God says, and it reminds me of Mark's sword. For the Word, the Logos of God, is living and powerful. Now, you know what? Our society would make you think it has no worth at all, right? The only worth it has is sitting in the back window of your car or on a shelf gathering dust. No. For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit. Now listen to me. When you try to divide what soul and what spirit in the Bible, I did this with a kid at a company one time, and every lunchtime we got together and we did every word on spirit and soul in the Bible and looked at it, and we could not tell. Because they're just meshed in enough. The spirit's kind of intellect, soul's kind of emotion, but it always carries over, and it's a little hard. So he says, for the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow. And you've seen that before. You never can figure out from the marrow to the bone what's going on, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Don't you find that when you read it? Don't you read it and get kind of convicted about maybe some of your intent? Oh, my intent isn't exactly what. So let me ask you, do you believe in that kind of power in the Word of God? Yes. Okay, all right. And here it says something really impactful I think you'll like. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, when we just got done reading Hebrews, the word for word is logos. But in the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word, it's rhema. Now, I want to talk about rhema for a second and what's significant. Here's the definition. That which is or has been uttered by a living voice. A thing spoken, speech, discourse, a declaration of one's mind made in words. So here it is. God's literal words are to be spoken out of our mouth to that defense. That's our sword. And so I want you to think about this for a minute. We have to fight back, but we have to depend on God, not us, right? Do you get that? We have to depend on God. We use His Word. So what do you mean, have an affair? For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. 1 Thessalonians 4:3 and 4. You want me to harbor bitterness? Be angry, but do not sin, God says. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. So Satan, you can't entice me to stay angry. What do you mean I'm not saved? I've been washed. I've been sanctified. I've been justified. 1 Corinthians 6:10. So you can't tell me I've lost salvation because it is written. What do you mean God doesn't love me? Ephesians 2:4, Satan says, love me. He loves me with a great love. A great love. He loves me. Get behind me. What do you mean I don't measure up? Ephesians 1:6, he made me acceptable in Christ Jesus. It is written, Satan. Can you give those? Can you declare that rhema? Or are you just learning the word? You got to start reading it and growing in it so you know how to defend yourself. God gives us a perfect example of rhema in his own son when he's being tempted in the wilderness. Luke 4:1, if you have your paper or electronic Bible. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, you remember at his baptism, he gets baptized and the Holy Spirit comes like a dove down and sets on Jesus. And right from there, now listen what happens to him. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, which is a valley, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And I'm going to say up because I've crawled up those very steps that he walked. Being tempted for 40 days by the devil. So for 40 days, every day, he was being tempted by Satan for one thing or another. This was completely and fully the will of God because God wanted Jesus to be hassled by Satan, so it built him up and matured him. And so it says, in those days he ate nothing, and afterwards when they had ended, he was hungry. Now I remember in the old days, people used to say, Jesus couldn't have done that because people can't do it for 40 days. And then I watched this video on not eating, and there's a bunch of people have done 40 days fast, okay? And in those days, he ate nothing, and afterwards, when he had ended, he was hungry, and the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. Now, I want you to think about that. You haven't eaten for 40 days, okay? I can't hardly get a day past. How about you? 40 days, he hasn't eaten. And then Satan challenges, says, if you're the Son of God, turn those stones to bread and eat. And what's Jesus? Jesus answered him saying, it is written. Man, let that burn in your heart. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word, he used rhema, the audible, repeatable word of God. Jesus used the rhema to refute Satan. He has a couple more temptations and Satan quits because he realizes he's not going to get it over on Jesus. But Jesus used God's actual words out of the Bible. It is written. Do you realize that's our story? Why is that story in there to teach us something? We're to know the Word of God so we can say it is written. You know, if you stop to think about it, God could have destroyed Satan with the blink of an eye, right? But God is after maturing you and I, because when the world was introduced to sin and to righteousness together, God wants to mature so we become the righteous children and stand against sin. God, in his remarkable wisdom, trained Jesus in the wilderness. He trained Peter at the trial before Pilate, didn't he? No, I don't know him. I don't know him. And what was Jesus' response? Feed my sheep. And Peter turned into a desperate man. He trained Paul through Paul's sufferings. He even says, tell Paul, you know, he's going to suffer many things for my name's sake. And he trains you, and he trains me through our circumstances. But this is the reality. If you've given yourself to Christ, he will train you. I'm a total believer in that. He will train you. Because it is written, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will what? Suffer persecution, just like Jesus did, just like Peter did, just like Paul did. You know, when I came to Denver and married Debbie, about a year later, I went to work in an envelope plant down on I-70 and I-25. There's an envelope plant in there, and it was hard labor. It was strictly hourly labor, and it was tough cutting envelopes and lifting paper all day. And during that time, even though I had committed my life to Christ, I came to a place and I committed my life to Christ to go into the ministry. I said, yes, I will go in the ministry. But Lord, you got to help me here. Oh, I wish I never prayed that. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, he heard that prayer. Wow, did he hear that prayer? And so like Peter or Jesus, he allowed Satan to sift me as a person. And every day after that committed prayer, as I turned on my machine, I lift up and I push the button on that machine, and immediately I felt like Satan would jump my back and let me know who he thought I really was. Because I was not a Christian before I became Christian. I mean, some of you didn't know Christ. I need a lot of work. Okay, let me put it that way. And the accuser accused me, and this went on for 8 months, every day, Monday through Friday and Saturday. It was just like as soon as I pushed that button, I would get to a place I wouldn't want to push that button because I knew he'd be on my back. And I learned to start quoting Scripture. It is written. And I read my Bible day and night trying to understand so I could give an answer to all these things in my head. And out loud, in Rhema, I would say it out loud, and some of the other cutters would look at me and go, did you say something? Oh, no. Okay. And it would start up again, and I'd swing my sword. It is written, Satan. And you know what my number one prayer was? What do you think my number one prayer was? Oh, God, stop this. I can't take it. Right? Yeah. Isn't that what we do?
Yes.
But I could. And I knew in my heart I could. And I could until I had nothing left in me. We got to 8 months. And I got sick with pneumonia from this. And immediately, and so I begged God, and I said, but God, I don't think I can take it anymore. And it stopped just like that. And you know what's the interesting thing is I began to look at my growth over those 8 months. It was speedy. It matured me in a way I never thought I could, and I wanted to take that prayer back. Doesn't that sound crazy? I wanted to take that prayer back and get the devil to hound me some more because I was growing so much. Because he built in me the same thing he built in Peter and Paul and John and all the disciples, and especially in his son, and wants to build in you. Wants to build in you. And the Father is building in you, no matter how hard or easy it is. As you go through these circumstances and you don't like them, and you know your medical's not right, and you don't have the right car, and all, you know, I could go on and on and on, couldn't I? Are you allowing him to grow you through all these circumstances? Listen, my friends, my challenge for this week is let's fight fire with fire. When the darts come, when the temptation comes, when the pitfall, when the weakness, the thoughts, the torture, the temptation, the bad attitude, the desire of the flesh to protect, the desire to do the wrong thing. Let's fight fire with fire. Let's pick up that sword and say, it is written. Let's read and quote the scriptures back to the evil one. Because it is written, but the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. It is written, Satan. Do you hear me, Matt? Do you hear me, Satan? It is written. And taking up the sword which comes out of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, let's be protected. Let's pray.